guys, welcome to episode 182 of a Wrestling Gal podcast, providing you with the female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J, as today I am joined by the hot mess, Chelsea Green. Now let's chat. Hello, everybody. Today I am joined by the host of Green with Envy, the hot mess, Chelsea Green. I almost said Laurel Van Ness. It just has a ring to it. But how are you doing today, Chelsea?
I'm so good. Thank you. And it's so fun to be introduced as a podcast host. I love it.
Right? You're doing a lot of things right now. I guess you could call yourself a ring commentator too as well. I mean, there's that too.
No big deal. We'll just add that to the list, you know, add that to the resume.
Exactly. But you know, firstly, obviously this past year has been absolutely insane, obviously for you, but we're on the grand scope of things. This world has been crazy. So how do you think you've managed to maybe stay positive throughout this last year plus?
Yeah, it has been crazy year. I don't think that I have stayed 100% positive. It would be crazy to say that with the pandemic and with this new cancel culture and with losing my job and all that stuff. It's been very much up and down, but I really do feel like my family, my friends, and my fiance get me through all of it and really keep me level-headed and grounded. And I'm so thankful for that, especially Matt. You know, and we've had a long freaking year.
Yeah. But you are tying the knot on New Year's Eve, correct? Yeah. So you have that
New Year's
to look
Eve,
forward to.
Yes. And I was trying to keep it a secret where we were doing it, but Matt went on his podcast and said he wasn't going to say the date. He was going to say the place. So now, surprise, we're getting married in Las Vegas on New Year's Eve.
There's going to be a lot of people there though. So, I mean, at least you'll have a huge celebration, right? I mean,
big.
They say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but we'll see about that. It's an all out wedding, right?
Yeah. And especially when, you know, we have Instagram, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Now, before we talk wrestling and all that stuff, I know one of your favorite things is terrible reality television, which I'm a huge fan of reality television as well, but I'm curious to know, what was the first reality show you remember enjoying to watch?
I really think, gosh, well, you know, I wanted to say like when I found wasn't the hills. When I found Laguna Beach, I really like fell in love. But actually, I think I would take it back further and go to Survivor, like the very first
Chelsea
season of Survivor.
Yes. Oh my God. Survivor, I've been like watching dedicatedly for like, 12 years now. I obviously was like very, very little. I was like 3 when it came out. So I didn't really find it till like season 18. But ever since I've been watching, and then they just recently had Winners at War and it's returning in the fall. So I don't know if you keep up to date, but it's returning in the fall and I'm super excited.
So I would say for the past maybe 7 years, I've gone on and off of watching, but I still keep track. Like, I mean, I love my reality show. So I keep track of basically everything to an extent, but that was like the first reality show that I experienced, and I was young too, but that I like fell in love with. My family sat in front of the TV every Thursday night. It was on in Canada, and we loved it.
Oh, I'm super excited. I love how this is starting off already. I'm super excited though. It's returning back in the fall. It's like much like you, like that's like my every Wednesday night is Survivor or Big Brother, because it's Big Brother right now, but then it's Survivor in the fall.
Yep.
And I have missed that on my Wednesday nights. It's a craving I need, you know?
Yeah. No, trust me, you are preaching to the choir.
Now, what is currently though on your watch list?
Oh man, it's bad. So because I just got home, you know, I was on the road for quite a while with Impact, Ring of Honor, and then indie shows. So I just got home and watched. I caught up on The Bachelor, The Hills, Siesta Key. Oh my gosh, there's honestly so all the Housewives, Below Deck. Like I'm telling you, I do not discriminate. I will watch them all. And the best thing is, like, now we've got on demand and all that kind of stuff. Like, so I love to, right now I'm trying to hold off on watching seasons of Real Housewives, and then I binge. So on my day off, I'll just binge. I'll watch, you know, like 4 or 5 episodes. I sit there with a bag of chips or popcorn, and that is my, like, release.
Now, I've actually never heard of Below Deck. So can you give me, like, a brief synopsis of it? I know. I've heard of all the rest of them, but I've never heard of it. So I'm really curious.
Okay. So Below Deck is another, I don't know if you know what Summer House is.
Yeah.
Okay. So Summer House and you know, the Real Housewives, they're all on Bravo. Below Deck is on Bravo too. And it follows the crew of chartered yachts. So you get to see their, like, below deck, you know, the deck is where all the guests are. Mm-hmm. Below deck is where all the crew sleep. So it's all the drama of that and the yacht life. I love it.
Huh. Okay. That's cool. It's like kind of, yeah, obviously, like, it's kind of docu and reality. It's different. Okay. I like that.
Yes, it is very different. And there are real life scenarios that I really like. And I feel like on a show like Below Deck, you can't totally script it. They're working.
Yeah.
They're working nonstop. They're on a boat. How can you script that?
You can't really. I mean, you could, I guess, but there's
other reality TV producers are laughing at us right now, thinking like, no, you can. You guys are dumb. You very much can.
Probably. We don't know all the secrets, but I'm curious too, if you could insert yourself as a cast member or contestant on any reality show, past or present, which would it be and why?
I would say a Real Housewife and a Real Housewife or a WAG. And actually, when I heard WAG was coming, WAGs was going to come to Florida, I think, you know, I think they had a Miami one, but I thought it was going to come to all of Florida. I actually messaged one of my casting director friends saying, like, do you guys need a wrestler's wife? Because Matt was in WWE and I was kind of on the indies, but like, kind of like floundering a little bit, didn't know what I was going to do. But the Real Housewives is just my jam. And I feel like I could totally be a part of a couple different casts of Real Housewives.
Now, do you think Matt would be okay with adjusting to reality? Obviously, he's had cameos on like Ms. and Mrs. and stuff, but do you think that he could handle maybe being at the forefront of some stuff on reality television?
No, I really do think he could. Okay. He's such a ham. When the camera turns on, like, it, and it could just be his camera. Like, when he's vlogging, he will go from stoic to camera goes on and he's like, woo, woo! Like, he turns into like some sort of crazy camera monster. So 100% he would thrive in that scenario.
Somebody's got to book it. I mean, I'm telling you, you need to go ask your friend to get that to happen, because I think it'd be hella entertaining, honestly, though. But obviously, you also have a huge appreciation for acting as well. So who are some of your influences or actors you admire the most in a general scope?
Okay, so I think it's, I don't want to say the wrong name, but James McAvoy, who acts in Split.
Yes. Oh, yes. I've seen Split. Yeah. I love that.
Split is a really, really big. That is a huge influence in my character as the hot mess. That's something that I hope I'm going to work towards, would be a Split character. And he really just like gives me life playing those characters and the transitions. But besides that, just someone that's kind of, well, two people that are low key and I just think have like a beautiful career, but also a beautiful personal life would be Jessica Alba and Jennifer Aniston.
Oh,
yeah. And, you know, I'm not necessarily looking at their career and thinking like, you know, wow, they're life-changing actors, but I'm just thinking that they have a great head on their shoulders and they're beautiful inside and out. And that's something that I would prefer to emulate as opposed to maybe someone who does great, great work, but doesn't have that amazing life outside of, you know, work.
Yeah, of course, too. It's important, too, especially in like the limelight that they're in and everything. They seem to have a great head on their shoulders. We've never seen anything really crazy going on about them. Obviously, there's always rumors in Hollywood, but those two, definitely Jessica Alba. And I think everybody loves, how can you hate Jennifer Aniston? Like, honestly, I don't know how
she's an actual goddess.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And this kind of transitions into my next question. And maybe it is James McAvoy's character, but if you could play any character from any movie throughout time, who do you think you would be able to perfect at embodying?
I don't know that I could do it as well as James McAvoy, but I truly think either Split or female Fight Club.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, something a little twisted, a little split personality, a little, you know, just like something different and deeper in the character. That's what I love. And I also love playing different accents and playing around with, yeah, just different, like totally opposite personalities than what you would picture me in. So I could really go for James McAvoy in Split or Brad Pitt in Fight Club.
Now, which accent then can you nail the best? I'm not going to put you on the spot, but which one do you think that you're the best at? Because I suck at accents, unless it's country. But
okay, I really suck at Australian, but I will get there. But my grandma is British, and I lived in England, so I can nail a British accent. And then, funny enough, my acting coach was giving me at WWE was giving us all kind of promos to do, and I was just getting bored. I was just getting like very, very complacent. Like, okay, I can do a script. Like, give me something else. He was like, okay, so now do it in a Russian accent. And I had never, I did not know anything about Russian accents or anything. And I just started watching YouTube videos of people speaking English that were Russian. And I really think I nailed it. It's hilarious. And one day I'll put the video out because I do have it. But I think that I've got a Russian accent down. I would need to practice it again, but okay. It's not number two.
I'm going to hold you to that. When you release it, I'm going to be like, I remember what she's saying, and then we'll judge it from there. But it's probably,
yes.
We'll tell you it's very much likely better than mine because I can only do like country accents. I suck at everything else. But you know, it's cool though to be able to kind of just turn yourself on and like the flip of a switch, yes. Especially in wrestling that encompasses all like promos and in-ring stuff. You're like going off the cuff a lot of the time. And I feel like that kind of translates into what you're doing now, especially with like broadcast journalism is something you've wanted to do and you've gotten a taste for it, I think, obviously with your podcast and now in commentary in Ring of Honor's Women's Championship Tournament, which we will add to your list of accolades. So has public speaking been something that's always come naturally to you, or is it something that you had to maybe work on to be comfortable with?
I've always really loved being a drama queen, whether it was public speaking, acting, speeches at weddings, like whatever it is, I guess I like being the center of attention, like really. And so I actually remember in eighth grade, I had to do a big over-the-top speech, and I did it on Isadora Duncan. I believe she was a famous ballerina. Yeah, I think so. And I got up there and I totally froze. And I forgot my entire speech.
No.
And I cried and I ran away. And I don't think I ever went back to that drama class. And that was like the last time that I like really flopped and like allowed myself to flop. I've really like tried to push to get better. And public speaking is just, it's something that is going to help you in life. Like, I just think the better you are at public speaking as well as improv, it's going to help you in a business meeting, in calls, everything.
I think that's important too, especially obviously into transitioning to what you're doing now. And you can definitely see it in your work, especially on your podcast. You're just comfortable with it because it's hard when you're not like bouncing off a guest, like it's just a solo show. It's hard to like speak your mind and not have there be awkward. And then again, barring editing, you can always edit stuff out. But I feel like it's different when you're by yourself and it's just you talking to your mic or you're just talking to the camera because you don't have anybody's energy or words or vibes to really bounce off of. So is that really been something that you think you've conformed to naturally on your podcast, or are you maybe looking to do some work with more guests?
Yeah, that I thought would come natural. And okay. I got on the microphone and I realized, wow, this is way harder than I thought. Mm-hmm. And I am so used to, like you said, bouncing ideas and thoughts off of another person, whether it's just talking to you or sitting in the car talking to Deanna. Like, mm-hmm. I was shocked. I'm not even joking. I think I recorded my first episode and it was 11 minutes long. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. I got a lot of work to do. I went back to the drawing board. I re-recorded. And from then on, I've just put my head down and worked really hard at that skill. And I don't think I'll ever perfect it, but it's a skill I want to have, just me, myself, and the microphone, you know, just being able to talk openly and honestly while also thinking before I say anything, especially in 2021.
Yeah.
So yeah, it definitely, I thought it would come natural. It didn't, but I do think it's just an awesome skill to have and to continue to work on. And I do think every single episode gets better. And I get a lot of feedback from the listeners, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah. Like my first like four episodes were like by myself as well before I do like other guests and stuff. And so even me starting out, it took a long time to even get comfortable. I was like repeatedly over criticizing myself too. And I'm like, this has only been 10 minutes. It feels like a half hour. And
yes.
You're like, oh my God. And then I re-recorded and re-recorded. So I completely understand that it's definitely a process. I don't think, unless you're maybe like Oprah, you'll really perfect, you know,
yes,
but yeah,
exactly.
It's definitely important though, too, that you're definitely focusing on developing it and that it's something that you utilize, I think, outside of your podcast as well, too. Obviously speaking in public platforms and cutting promos and all that, it all ties together beautifully, you know? So
it totally does. And, you know, you, to be a great wrestler, you really have to be an all around great performer. And that's just another thing on the list of, you know, things you need to do to be a good wrestler.
Now, how have you been adjusting to life on commentary on Ring of Honor? Do you kind of see it in the same mindset you do as your podcast, or you're obviously with other people, or do you find it maybe easier?
I find it much, much harder.
Okay.
It's much harder because you're talking about two people. You don't want to disrespect them. You don't want to downplay what they're doing. But if you go over the top, you know, a lot of people are annoyed and don't want to listen to that. They don't want to listen to somebody screaming at them while they're trying to watch their favorite two wrestlers in the ring. So it's this very fine line. Not only that, but working with two other people, it's not just waiting for one person to speak. It's waiting for your time to speak. It's waiting for those two people to finish their thoughts and to not lose your train of thought or to drop your train of thought because they've moved on. It's just this weird, ever moving and ever changing thing. And, but again, it's another skill that I really think is an awesome skill for wrestlers to have. And it's something that I've always wanted to do. And I worked on a little bit with, John LaQuasto in, WWE and a little bit with Vic Joseph. He's my friend and he kind of gave me some tips and tricks and things like that. And Mackenzie Mitchell has kind of helped me as well because she's a backstage, you know, host and announcer and all that stuff. So I have really good people on my side helping me as I go and able to, and they're able to critique me.
That's good too, especially going into something that you've dabbled in a little bit on occasion, but now actually going full force where it's going to be repeated after repeated because you have all these matches now to go through in this tournament. So that's great that you have people to kind of bounce off of and learn from, and especially as you're looking to better yourself in all aspects too. But obviously we are now in basically the peak of the ROH Women's Tournament too. And so as somebody who has been there at tapings, no spoilers, obviously, but is there any specific few that have been really impressing you while you've been out there on commentary? Any performers?
Oh my gosh. Seriously, that's so hard to answer because I honestly want to give you a list of all the girls.
Yeah.
Like it's insane. And I was saying this last night, I was chatting with Maria Kanellis and I am just shocked. I'm shocked by the veterans that, you know, like Sumi, I've never seen live. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Allison Kay and Marty Bell, like those are my girlfriends. Yep. And those are people that I know could hold that title. But then you go the opposite direction and you go and you see Trisha Dora and Willow and Roxy and like
Roxy beat Sumi Sakai. Right?
Exactly. I'm just like floored by the amount of talent. And not only that, by the amount of, I don't even know how to put it, but every female is so unique and so different in this tournament, and not one person is alike. And I don't know that we've ever seen that before. I really don't think we've ever seen a scope of women that are this diverse, and I'm so excited.
I am so excited too. And I know a lot of other people are, because there is so much happening. We are recording in the month of August right now. There is so much happening in women's wrestling, obviously Ring of Honor. You've also recently returned to Impact. Then you have NWA and Power coming up, and the independent scene is absolutely booming right now. And I think really August, I said it yesterday on Twitter, but I really think August is really the month of is going to be the best month of the year.
I really think so. I totally agree with you. And I have thought that for the past couple months. I have been looking forward to August, and we're here, and I'm just excited to see how everything plays out.
I am so excited as well. Now, I mentioned, obviously, you returned to Impact, but you kind of also brought a new thing of fashion into your return to Impact, sporting your bucket hat, which I've honestly seen a lot of people wearing more lately, even in person. So what prompted the bucket hat in your in-ring return to Impact Wrestling?
So honestly, I'm just doing what I want now. You know, I'm doing whatever makes me happy. And when I was online and I saw that friggin' green sparkly bucket hat, I could not help myself. And I'm not even joking. I messaged my gear people and I made an outfit to go with the bucket hat. That is what happened. And I'm going to continue to do that. Yeah, I'm going to continue to do that. I've got some puffy jackets. I've got some leather jackets. Like, I've just been buying stuff that just floats my boat, and I don't care. You know, like, everyone was laughing at me backstage. I'm sure Matt thought I looked absolutely crazy, but like, it makes me happy, and that's all that matters.
I thought it looked great, honestly. And like I said, I've seen a lot of bucket hats reemerging, like in person, like just this week alone, I think I've seen 5 people like wearing them out in public. So I feel like
the 90s are back,
right?
And then, and a bucket hat is so 90s. So totally.
I'm so excited for it. I'm curious too. Is there any other fashion trend you hope to maybe return? Obviously, besides the bucket hat.
I love a good flare jean. I don't have any because it's really hard being 5'8" trying to find some that are long enough for my legs.
I'm 5'8" too. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, they're made for shorter people. Yeah. So I love a good flare jean. I really just love all these trends that are coming back, the butterfly clips, the just like, and like the pants that like don't hug you everywhere, that just kind of like sit on you, are very interesting. I'm not much of a risk taker with fashion. I very much wear the same stuff. I have been wearing the same Lululemons for the past 5 years, you know, like, yeah, I just can't get rid of my go-tos. So hopefully I'll step outside of my comfort zone and try these things. The bucket hat was the beginning.
Okay, fair enough. A lot of it is obviously like not vintage. I would say like the butterfly clips are like 2000s though, like, or like, yes, late 90s, 2000s. And then like the flare jeans are like 70s. And I know that's like a lot of Mickey style in her gear. Do you ever think that you would maybe have flares for your ring gear at all?
Okay, so never, and only because, okay, I can't even imagine how that feels to try to like kick and stuff in that. Fair, like, enough. It must be so, it, and they must get in the way. I mean, Mickey's probably used to it, and people probably think that about my one sleeve top. But you know, you get used to what you get used to.
That's fair enough too. Everybody's styles are different. And I feel like it'd be, if you're not used to something, trying to like quickly adjust to that, especially in a live setting, is probably like, you would need to focus on your match. You shouldn't have to worry about other stuff like that. You know, I understand.
And that, I mean, you saying that, that is one thing that I was kind of kicking myself about, was at Slammiversary and at my Impact debut, I was wearing 2 new sets of boots, and my boots are thigh highs. And it's really hard to wrestle in a new pair of stiff, not broken in boots. And
blisters.
If you watch back, yes, if you watch back, you can probably see a couple times where I was a little like slippy and slidey.
I actually didn't notice that, but I mean, maybe. Besides your own too, who do you think has the best wrestling ring gear game or aesthetic in wrestling today?
Sasha Banks and Seth Rollins have, they, oh man, They're great. I also think like my own fiance has great gear. Like he's always changing his gear. He's always changing his boots. You guys might not notice because they all look similar, but I know how much work he puts into and behind the scenes. So yeah, I would say those three.
Okay. Sasha Banks always has impeccable gear. She ties it into stories too. And Seth Rollins is obviously called the master of the drip now, even his non-wrestling gear, like his suits and everything are impeccable. So yes. I highly agree with you. So I have to agree. Now you did mention your return to Impact, and that also included squaring off with your real life best friend, Deonna Purrazzo, in a tag team match at Impact's homecoming event. So what was that like rekindling your work in the ring with her?
It's so fun. And I really hope that moving forward, that's something that we can continue. It would be a shame not to, whether it's alongside her or against her. I think it's just really fun being in the ring with your best friend.
Of course, too. And you guys, obviously, you travel together, like you mentioned earlier, and feed off of ideas and all of that. I'm curious, though, too. Obviously, were you hesitant at all to wrestle with your, you say that as you bring your, you guys can't see this, your broken arm into frame right now. But were you hesitant at all to go wrestle with a broken arm? Or what was it like working with an injury like that in Impact? Because I have no idea.
Well, and neither did I. Okay. I have only ever rehabbed and been cleared and come back to wrestle.
Yeah.
So this was very, very different. And I didn't tell anyone I was scared, but pardon my French, I was scared shitless. Mm-hmm. I mean, who wants to go into such a huge moment? Like, that's a big moment in my career to make my wrestling comeback. After being released, after the 90 days, after not really being on TV since November, it was a big deal. And I really envisioned myself just feeling 110%, looking 110%. And that wasn't the case. You know, I wasn't able to work out properly and I wasn't able to get in the ring and train and I wasn't healthy. And so emotionally and mentally, I was not 100% going into that match. But after coming out of it, I felt like, oh my God, I felt like a million bucks.
Your adrenaline's running. Yeah.
Yeah. I did it. My arm is great. I won. Like there was no better feeling. And since that day, since Slammiversary, I have felt great.
That's good too. I did see the photos, I think the next day or the day after of, yeah. And then your doctor cutting off. Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine like, oh my gosh, girl. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I got the cast off. So the cast that I had on for the past month was, you know, like a cast that like a 14-year-old would get.
Yeah.
A normal cast, a fit cast. And then finally, after Impact tapings was the date that I was able to get that off. And then unfortunately, my arm is not healed enough to be able to go in and wrestle. That's just pushing it. So we've got a removable cast now so I can wash my hair and I can shower. And you know, I still have to wrestle in the cast. I mean, I shouldn't even wrestle at all, but I am going to, but I'm feeling so much better.
Daredevil, as they say. Now, obviously, I know you are all about manifesting your goals and putting them out into the universe. So right now, what are some of your goals, whether it's wrestling related or not, that you hope to achieve while you enjoy this free agency for the rest of the year?
You know, I obviously want to show my face on as many wrestling promotions as possible. NWA, AEW, AAA, whatever that may be. So that's a goal. But outside of wrestling, I'm really trying to focus on what makes me happy besides wrestling. And really right now, what makes me happy besides wrestling is speaking. It's podcasting. And so to get my podcast signed is my biggest goal, which has been my biggest goal since I started it. So, you know, I'm still in talks with Playboy and I'm still hoping for Barstool and, you know, whatever comes, but I'm still pushing for it.
Fingers crossed. I mean, I think that's a lot of people's hopes with podcasts and all that, but you have a great voice and are fearless when it comes to public speaking too. But if you were to maybe extend your voice to maybe the wrestling version of The View or The Talk into maybe a daily talk show, who else would you have join you as your co-hosts from the wrestling or media world?
I mean, I really think that Matt and I as a couple are like very powerful. I really think that we have the potential to be powerful. And it's something that we weren't able to explore before, but now we are. So maybe it would be with him. I think him and I were just on an episode of Oral Sessions, the Renee's mm-hmm. podcast. So I really enjoyed doing stuff with him there. So I think he would be my co-host.
Okay. It's all about getting those reps in, especially too with public speaking and podcasting and all of that. But it's good though to be able to feed off of your energy, and maybe, you never know, maybe Barstool will pick you up. I know you've been manifesting it for a long time, and a lot of your goals though have come true though so far. So you're part of Ring of Honor. You've been wanting that for years. That is true. Obviously, barring you get cleared for them, hopefully down the line, I wouldn't be surprised if you emerged into the ring. But and you're back at Impact now. So I think you've had fairly good success with manifesting your goals so far, Chelsea.
Thank you.
And now, lastly, we are all about hashtag girl power here on A Wrestling Gal. And I know of at least two of them, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Who are some of your female inspirations in your personal or professional life?
Okay. We're talking wrestling.
Personally and professionally. It can be wrestlers, family, friends, peers, mentors,
okay,
anything.
So definitely Maria Menounos. Maria Menounos and Jessica Alba, again, mm-hmm. like that, those are two people that I just think they are so classy and so successful. And I love everything Maria Menounos has done with her career. And then of course, how could I not say like Trish Stratus?
Yeah. The iconic,
you know what I mean?
Trish Stratus.
Yeah, totally. And then I guess another person that I would love to emulate and like emulate their grace would be Princess Diana.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So we got Jessica Alba, Trish Stratus, Maria Menounos, and Princess Diana. That's a very diverse group of people.
I mean, maybe also with Princess Diana, I would say Michelle Obama.
They're amazing.
They have the same demeanor.
Yeah, they're like graceful and elegant. Well, it maybe it constitutes to maybe the hot mess. You can be graceful and elegant, but also show that little crazy side in the ring, that little firecracker.
Exactly.
You know? So there you go.
Exactly.
There you go. Now, before I let you go, can you please tell the listeners where they can find you and your podcast on all your social media and streaming platforms?
Oh Lord. Okay. I'm really bad with this. So I hope I get this right. I think my Instagram is at Chelsea A Green and my Twitter is at I'm Chelsea Green. Could be totally wrong. Pretty sure that's right. And then on all platforms, you can find my podcast at Green WNB Pod, and it's available on all digital streaming platforms, Green with NB Podcast.
I love your podcast and keep rolling with that, because you can definitely see the progression, and your comfortability is not a word, but we're going to make it a word. You're definitely getting more adjusted and more comfortable with talking on the microphone. And so that's especially, you're thriving in that. So keep going forward with that. You're doing amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for having me today. You're a great speaker. You are like a really great podcaster. So I'm excited we were able to link up.
Thank you. I try. But thank you so much again for joining me today, Chelsea. It's been an absolute pleasure. And hopefully your arm can get healed up so you can get into some Ring of Honor action. And don't forget to tick on commentator to your list of accolades.
Okay, I'm going to go and do that now.
Thank you so much for joining me again today.
Bye, Ella.